This lesson is entitled The Thoughts of Today. Well, actually, I just want to talk about three modes of thinking tonight. Three modes of thinking and three modes of practice that I'd like to discuss that as a student or otherwise, we will be needing to deal with. I want to talk about being open-minded. Then I want to talk about staying within the limits of God. And the last thing, not avoiding the necessity question. So if you can keep those three things in your mind, we'll go through and we'll deal with each of these. Let's talk about being open-minded. Go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. Now let me tell you. Recently, I wouldn't even say recently, I would say within the past few years, my dad and I have been within a few strong discussions, I'd say, in regards to the Bible, in regards to Christ, and, you know, just one seeking to follow God. And one of the points that he always just brings to me says, you know what, you need to be more open-minded. You need to be more open-minded. I tell him, I say, well, Dad, you know, there is only one way to God. That's through Christ. He says, well, you need to be more open-minded. There are other ways of getting to God. There are other ways of, you know, receiving salvation. I'm like, Dad, that's just not the way. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what we're taught. He says, well, you know, you just need to be more open-minded. And so I started to think about that. I'm like, what exactly does this mean? What do you mean by I need to be more open-minded? And really, the more that I thought about it, I figured, well, he's just trying to say, I want you to, you know, view my viewpoint just as equal as you view yours. The same kind of attention that you're giving your view, I want you to give mine as well. And I'm sure whether or not you've already dealt with this, this is just the sort of attitude that's been given, right? Now, that's how they act. Really, what they say or try to portray is, you know what, every ideal is just as equal as the next one. You know, so you don't need to worry about trying to follow your own way. Just remember that all ideas are the same. And this is the exact same thing that my dad is saying. To accept or to see the ideas of others as equal as our own. That's what he means by saying being open-minded. Now, let's talk about this man of God here in 1 Kings chapter 13. Starting in verse 1, and behold, a man of God came out of Judah by the word of the Lord to Bethel. Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make offerings. So here we already have this scene. This man of God, this prophet, is coming to this king Jeroboam, and he's going to what? He's going to prophesy against him. He's going to say, okay, some bad things are going to happen. This is what you need to do. If you don't do them, bad things are going to happen. If you do them, you and everyone else will be saved. And he gives them a sign, and before anything, the king reaches out his hand, doesn't work out. He calls for the Lord to restore his hands, and he says, okay. Starting in verse 7, and the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. And the man of God said to the king, if you give me half your house, I will not go in with you. And I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. For so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the way that you came. So he went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. And so he didn't go his way. He said, okay, listen, Jeroboam, I am just not going to go that way. Why? Because God said I need to go one specific way, this way. I don't need to come back the way that I came, and I don't need to stop by anybody's place and eat and drink. Now, man, that would have been great if this man of God would have just followed that, right? That's not what happened. What else do we read here? Let's skip down to verse 14. And now we have this entrance of this older prophet who comes in, and he says, hey, come on over. The latter half of verse 14, and he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with you, or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by the way that you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. So he went back. Now this prophet, this man of God, understood right away that, you know what, people are equal, but ideas are not. Now this is the sort of mindset that we're going to be needing to face. Because usually when you're arguing against someone and you say, look, I just don't agree with your viewpoint. I don't agree with what you have to say. I don't agree with how you think we all get to God. I don't agree with how you think we all obtain salvation. You know, all these different kinds of things. But the problem is when they say, well, you don't agree with me. Well, then I feel that you look at me as if I'm less of a person. That's the issue. But what we're telling them is like, look, hey, people are all equal. You know, as we talked about this morning, people are equal, but ideas are not. So what ended up happening to this man of God? Verse 23, and after he had eaten bread and drunk, he saddled the donkey for the prophet whom he had brought back. And as he went away, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was thrown in the road, and the donkey stood beside it. The lion also stood beside the body. So here we have, even though someone who may be of you, okay, they may appear to be as if they're your friend, someone who's trying to help you out, saying, hey, well, what if God told you to do this? Well, what if God told you to do that? Look, you need to be more open-minded about these things. Well, God is very specific about what he wants us to do. So when we're having a hard time asking the question within ourselves, well, what would God want me to do? Well, that's stick with what you heard in the first place. That's sticking with the word of God. And anything else besides that is the problem. But another issue is, well, we don't want to be called the opposite of open-minded, do we? And what's that? Being closed-minded. I don't want to be known as closed-minded. Well, why not? That's a bad thing, right? We don't want anyone looking at us in a bad way. And then we sort of think, well, if they view me as closed-minded, then they're not going to talk to me about certain things. We're not going to be able to engage in other certain things. Well, if that's the case, then so be it. The most important thing that we need to recognize is it doesn't matter. In the world's view of being open-minded, it does not matter. The only thing that matters is if we are following the Lord, word by word. That's what it means. Our message to them is people are equal. Ideas are not. Just because we disagree does not mean you're less of a person. But this is another issue. But for the sake of being politically correct, what do they say? Well, you need to go out here and view everyone's view as equal as your own. And really, this is the sort of messes that you get from them. They say, okay. When you're against someone, when you have some sort of opposition, in public, you say, everyone's ideas are equal. But when you're alone, you can practice your own thing and no one can really judge you for that. See? So that's how it all works out. So in everyone else's eyes, hey, you're for everyone. But by yourself, you can be all by yourself and just do your own thing. That's what it is. So for the sake of being politically correct, we have compromised what? We've compromised the truth of God. We've compromised the word of God just so someone can feel better about themselves temporarily. That's why. And when you think about it, no one actually lives that way. It's interesting how you find a lot of people trying to advocate for believing in, you know, and just trying to apply everyone's ideas. But who actually lives that way? No one. I have never met a person out here, even though they may be advocating that all ideas are equal, I have never met a person who is actually trying to actualize everyone's ideas as if they were as equal as their own. I have never met a person like that. And you know what? You're never going to meet a person like that either. Why? First, it's impossible. It's impossible to do all these things. Second, it's unnecessary. There is no need for us to sit up here and try so hard to be politically correct with people and compromise the Word of God. So you know what? If that means that someone is going to call me closed-minded, well, so be it. So be it. In fact, there are a number of insults that they're going to be coming up with later on and already today. But we shouldn't be afraid of being called closed-minded while at the same time compromising the Word of God. So we need to be careful about that. And this is something that we are all going to be facing more and more as time progresses, as this country is going in the way that it's going, as this world is going in the way that it's going. This is one of the ideas that we're going to be needing to face. So we don't need to worry about being open-minded. But not only that, when you try to bring these things to their attention, and when you say, well, this is the truth. You have to stick with this. You have to stick with the Word of God. You have to stick with the Bible. And anything else beyond that is not the truth whatsoever. But then you have some other questions like, okay, well, what about drinking? And what about smoking? What about getting tattoos and all these other things? And are those things okay? You know, those things aren't really sins, so is it okay for me to do it? And then so you try to explain to them about the Word of God in that sense, like, okay, well, I really think when you're reading the Bible and you know God, you're not going to have this problem. You're not going to have this issue. In any case, it'll be a lot answer to answer that question. Should I do this? Should I be doing this? No. The answer is no. But what we find is someone will say, well, that's just a gray area. That's just a gray area. There's no way we can know. You ever seen a checkerboard? Ever seen a huge checkerboard? If you were to zoom out in a huge checkerboard, it looks gray. But the closer you get to it, well, you begin to realize that everything is just simply black and white. So it depends on two things. It depends on, first, how close you are to it, distance, and we can go ahead and call that experience. The closer you get to something, the more you understand how really this is just black and white. But the closer you get to it, what else happens? Well, you begin to see a little bit better. So the closer you get to it, your perception is then seen. Hey, you know what? This is black and white. There really isn't a gray area. It depends on distance and experience, and it depends on sight and perception. And so be it. If there is a possibility of being called closed-minded, stick with the truth. And don't compromise whatsoever. A lot of these areas that people say, well, that's just a gray area, really aren't if you know the Lord. And we'll get into that a little bit more. But if you know the Lord, and if you know the Word, you're going to find that a lot of these areas are just plain and simple, black and white. And going along with that, we'll be dealing with a lot of people and within ourselves about staying within limits. Okay. Staying within limits. I love this here. It says, I hate being confined by this fence. I'm jumping over it. It says, wait, it's not a fence. It's a guardrail. Yeah. It's a guardrail. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Well, sometimes there's nothing on the other side. So you need to be careful. And when we're dealing with God, when we're dealing with God's Word and following that and making sure that we're staying away from the world and all of its nonsense that it's going to bring us, we need to understand that we have to stay within limits. So we ask, you know, what would Jesus do? And so I believe that he would just say no. And as Greg said this morning, I don't think people are willing to accept this answer. When it comes to these gray areas, when it comes to, you know, hanging off the edge, I don't know if people are ready to accept Jesus actually saying no. Now, it's not just simply what Jesus did and what, you know, what he would tell you to do. It's imagine yourself actually going to him and asking this question. Jesus, do you think it's okay for me to engage in something of the world? Do you think it's okay for me to engage in drinking? Do you think it's okay for me to engage in smoking? And what's the answer going to be? No. He's going to say no. Why is that? Because he cares more about your spiritual aspect than he does about how happy you're feeling, maybe at that moment. He cares about what's going to happen to those around you more than he does about how you're dealing with them socially. That's what God cares about. But whenever this argument comes up, people say, well, you know what? I'm more of the strong brother. I'm more of the strong sister. I can go ahead and engage in these things. It'll be okay. I'm strong enough to handle them. You see, and so people are more inclined to identify with the strong brother in Romans 14. Let's go ahead and turn there. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. We'll start in verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. When people are more inclined to identify with a strong brother, they usually stop at the first half of verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. Like that's just all I've heard. Whether I'm online, whether I'm in person with someone, they say, well, you can't really judge me, okay? You can't judge me for that. Because if you judge me, that just means you're the weak brother. So how can you judge me for that? Let me go off and do my own thing. You understand that it's really not a sin. And you need to challenge yourself then to just be a better person and not to judge me. But why are we doing? Is that really what the strong brother, that strong sister is supposed to do? Of course not. Say things, well, I get to enjoy my liberty while spending most of my time telling others not to judge me, but hey, I'm strong enough to handle it. As if they are forgotten, when you read just a little bit more, starting in verse 1 in chapter 15, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. That strong brother, and in fact, they regard their liberties as, you know what, forfeit. They forfeit their liberties for the sake of their brother, for the sake of their sister, for the sake of their community. If that's what needs to be done, that's what's going to be done. And so we need to remember to stay within limits. Then we need to ask, well, is it just for you that he's saying these things? Is it just for you simply that Jesus says, well, you shouldn't engage in the world? Is it just for you when he says, you know what, when you look at a woman and you lust after her, you've committed adultery? Is it just for you? Is it just for you when he says, you know, when you hate your brother, you've already murdered him? Is that just for you? Just to make sure you're being really good? Is that stopping you from going over the guardrail? That's the point. That's why he says don't engage in these things. And that's why once you begin with a little bit more experience and maybe some perception, you'll see that these things really are just black and white. God does not want us engaging in all of these things just to be social, just to for people to look at us as if we're cool. No, that's not what matters. What matters is if we're being the example of Christ on this earth. And so I'd ask you to consider a parent. You know, what if this child was just really wanted to go hang off of that guardrail, right? Well, what if a child just really wanted to go hang off that guardrail? And the parent said, you know what? If you're too weak to hang off, don't do it. But if you're strong enough to just hang off there just a little bit and bring yourself back up, go ahead, no problem. But don't let go, because that's when the trouble really starts. What if a parent said something like that? You think that's what a parent would do? No, of course not. Practically speaking, what would you do? If that was your child wanting to go hang off the guardrail, what would you do? You say, get away from there. I don't want you anywhere near it. Right? Why would a parent even put you in that sort of situation? They'd convince you to come back. Don't even go anywhere near that guardrail. For the sake of your own soul, for the sake of your brothers, your sisters, and for the sake of mine, is what a parent would say. Would Christ not say the same thing? Would he not also challenge us the same way? Get away from that guardrail. And so whether it's your friends, whether it's yourself that's trying to convince, you know, well, let's go out, let's go have some fun. Well, depending on what it is, obviously, if you can stay away from these things, go ahead and stay away from it. And sadly, this is something I'd admit I just haven't seen. Usually when it comes to somebody arguing if we should stay away from, you know, drinking or something in particular, I remember I was online and there were all these comments about, and they were from fellow Christians saying, you know what, just use your liberty to do it, but just be very careful about it. Not one time did I see a person say, hey, just don't do it. Not one time did I see a person just say, don't do it. Do you think Jesus would say, don't do it? Well, if you can't answer that question, you have to ask, do you know the Lord? Because if you do, he'd simply say, don't do it. Don't engage in these things. Why make it harder than it needs to be? And so for the sake of sounding like some, you know, advocate for against this and, you know, for DARE or something, just say no. Just say no. And stay within limits. And lastly, I say, the biggest problem is how we avoid the necessity question. Don't avoid the necessity question. Well, what is the necessity question? Well, do I need to do that? Do I actually need to engage in these things? Do I need to eat some extra food? Do I need a supersize? You know, all of these things that we can think about. Do not neglect the necessity question. In fact, I don't want to say it in the sense that, you know, don't neglect it as if, okay, there's going to be something that's going to come to you in the future and then you need to be ready for it. Really what I'm saying is quit avoiding it. And while I'm preaching that to you, I'm preaching that to myself as well, because we've all done it, right? We've all avoided that question like the plague. It's like, oh, I don't want to ask, do I need to do something? I really want to ask, do I want to do something? We avoid it like the plague. And for ourselves, in the context of ourselves, for good reason. But when we know the Lord, and we understand the enticement of sin, hey, we need to be asking this question. We need to get this question at the forefront of our minds. Do I need? No, we need to ask it. We need to answer it. What's usually the answer when it comes to these things? Do I actually need this? What's usually the answer? No, right? No, I don't need that. But here's the hard part. We need to apply it. We need to apply it. Apply that answer. Let's talk about three reasons why we don't apply it. Well, it's too easy. It's too easy to ask that question. Do I need? Are you kidding me? I don't want to think about that because the answer is too easy. Let me put in a little bit of my emotions in there. Let me put in some of my desires and mix it all in. And guess what? You have a more complicated situation than you needed. And probably you were expecting. But when you simply ask, do I need? And you are comparing that to what God wants and what he says, that answer is very clear. Once again, it's black and white. It comes out. But we avoid it because it's too easy. That's way too easy. Let's complicate it a little bit. Though we're not saying we want to complicate it, but that's what we do when we put ourselves in the mix. The whole point about this question is it's What? Taking yourself out of the mix. Do I need? It's too easy, so we avoid it. It's too hard at the same time, right? It's way too hard to apply. Are you kidding me? Of course, I don't need all these things. But man, am I just going to go out here and sell them? Am I just going to go out here and just willfully give them away? Well, that's something we all need to ask ourselves. Now, we understand this. Yes, it is difficult to apply these things. And so this is why we avoid it. But not only that, it brings death. It brings death. Oh, man, no more fun. No more me. If I were to think about this question and really apply it in all aspects of my life, I just couldn't engage in all these things. I just couldn't do all these things, get all these things. If that's what it means, then so be it. But we do need to have a little bit more control in ourselves when it comes to this. Do I need? Do you need? It brings death. But I tell you that the three reasons why we don't apply it are the same reasons why we should. It's too easy. You should apply this because, man, that answer is too easy to get. Sometimes we come up with all these questions. We just don't know. But when you apply the necessity question, man, do I actually need to do this? Do I need to go to that place? Do I need to hang out with this person? The answer is a lot easier. We don't need to make it harder than it needs to be. We don't need to make it harder than it is. Apply it. And when you apply it, you begin to see, yes, hey, it's easy. And we need to apply it because it's hard. Remember back to that checkered example. You know, is gaining experience, you know, keeping on trying to make sure that your integrity is going to hold, trying to make sure that you can see it in the end, that you have that perception. Is that difficult? Yeah, that's difficult. But guess what? It's well worth it in the end. It's well worth it. That's why we need to apply this question. It may be hard, but in the end, it's well worth it. And it's not just going to be well worth it for me. It's going to be well worth it for my family. It's going to be well worth it for God. Let me apply this question. Because it's hard, and because I know I'm going to have to work on it, but in the end, I know, you know, it's going to be worth it. And we need to apply it because it brings death. But death of what? Death of self. It puts you to death. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And so we need to understand. This is why we need to apply this necessity question. It's easy, and we don't need to make it hard. It's too difficult to apply sometimes, but it's worth it. And it brings the death of self. But with faith, we know that we're being renewed day by day when we're sticking with the Lord. And so those are just three things that we're going to be needing to deal with. So whether you're a student or not, these are the problems and questions that are going to be coming up. And we need to remember, I need to stick with the Lord all the way through, no matter what. I know I don't need to worry about being so open-minded in the world's view. And if people call me closed-minded, then so be it. We need to stick with the truth. That's it. We need to stick with the truth and not compromise it for anything. And we need to recognize in a lot of these areas that people say are gray, well, you know what? The closer you get to it, the more experience you have with these things, you begin to see a little something. You begin to know a little something. These things are black and white. And therefore, we will stay within those limits and not go beyond them. And when we practice those things and we're not avoiding the necessity question, hey, we've done just a little bit something to better ourselves and to help better our communities as a whole. Our fellow brothers, our fellow sisters, and anyone we come into contact with.